We are going to continue into our discussion and walk through Ephesians, beginning at verse 17 of chapter 4. But before we get there, want to call back onto everything that we've discussed here, basically here in chapter 4 up to now, because we're going to want to carry that with us into our scripture. Remember, what we've talked about a lot was our calling, right? We talked about callings and how God has a calling on each and every one of our lives of some sort as followers and believers and disciples of His. Whether it's teaching, preaching, praying, giving, listening, telling, hearing, you know, all of these things. We were all called into that service. And remember, we're also all called, this is everybody, this is globally, everyone is called into salvation. Called into this family. Called into that relationship with God and through His one and only Son, Jesus, who made that way. Which leads us back into another part of what we had discussed, unity. We discussed unity so much. Being united in the one body, in the one faith, the one, you know, the bride of Christ, the family of God. A united front. Being united under that one God, that one Spirit, that one Savior, and having that one hope, that one faith. All these things that we have in common, that's that one, that common bond, that's through Jesus, who unites us, holds us together. Excuse me. We also talked about how our good and great Father doesn't leave us out there helpless and hopeless in any of these endeavors. How He provides for us, makes a way for us to be successful as we go out into the world, as we go out and do those things that He's called us to do. And He does that through other people, and as He helps build one another up. Sends people into our lives, sends us into people's lives, and it's a process that goes over and over and over again, building one another up into mature disciples, mature Christians, so that we can stand firm on that foundation that's been laid for us, and we can build on that. So we can stand firm, strong in God's Word. In God's ways, and go out into the world and do these things. So there's all these things that I remind you about. I know we've covered them over the last few weeks, but I want you to take that with you. Take this. Remember these things as we go into our scripture this morning, because Paul's got another call for us here, another reminder for us. But it's something that he doesn't want us to do. He says, this is Ephesians 4 beginning at 17, and it's on page 155, right? Yeah, of the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. It says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you've heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Do not walk as the Gentiles do," he says. Who are the Gentiles? Today, who are the Gentiles? Non-believers? Okay. Is that entirely true? It's partially true. Because some are believers of other gods and other deities and stuff, not the one true God. So the Gentiles are the ones that don't believe in our God, don't believe in Jesus, they're not the Christians. Don't walk as they do, he says. And then he goes on to talk about the futility of their mind. Let me ask you something else here. As Gentiles, non-believers, or believers of other faiths, because there's tons of them out there, right? Seems like they make up new faiths all the time, too. What do they look forward to? I'm not asking what they have to look forward to. What are some things that they look forward to as non-believers? Worldly things. Like what, Pam?
Money.
Naughtier things? The grin on your face? I don't know. Money. Me, right? Power. What else? What's good for me? What's good for my family? What's good for my community? What's good for, you know, my nation? What's good for, you know, the environment? What's good? You know, these are all valid things that they look forward to, right? Or that they look towards. And not all of them are bad things. Especially, what's good for my community? What's good for my environment? What's wrong with this mentality, though? What's missing here? They don't last. Where's the real good? Or take an O out of that. Where's God in this mix? And these things can all be very beneficial to mankind, right? A lot of these things that they come up with. But if they're not used to glorify God, or even worse, if they're used to refute Him, they're futile. Because when we get right down to the meaning of that whole, it's futile, they're futile minds, it's things that don't matter in the end. It's things that don't matter to God in the end, because God's not in their mix. Made me think of passage from Matthew, actually. Matthew 6, 19 and 21, where he says, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal." Store up treasures there. In other words, under God. I left a part of that out, didn't I, on that? What did I leave out on that? In that passage. Most important part of that. Because he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Where you put your efforts, where you put your trust, your hope, it's where your treasure is. Is your treasure being stored in heaven? Because it made me think of all these things that the hard work that so many non-believers would go and do, and in the end, what it benefits mankind, but what about them? Where's their benefit? When they're done in their minds. We know better. Don't walk as the Gentiles do. You're meant for so much more. Not that futility of mind, but heightened mind. As we've been built up, as we've talked about here, gathered together, filled with the Spirit, filled with the presence, to glorify God. Store up those treasures where they matter. Do that work where it matters. And they do, it says also here, it says they are darkened in their understanding. We can't expect Gentiles, let's just use that word, Gentiles, non-Christians, to act and behave as Christians. It's not fair to them, and it's not fair to us to expect it. Because they are not. They don't understand. Their hearts or their vision of God is darkened because they're not seeing Him as we see Him, as I hope we're seeing Him. They're clouded at best because they've been alienated from the life of God. Now, did God alienate them? No. That was their choice. That's the choice that also that we're kind of inherited into, right? Through that sin nature. They're alienated from God. They don't know Him. They don't know His presence. We can't expect them to. But we can expect us to. Don't walk like they walk. You're not alienated from God, I hope. And they're not only alienated from God, but they've become callous to Him. So they're alienated, they're darkened, and it says it's all because of the ignorance that is in them. I'm not saying they're stupid. There's some very, very brilliant individuals. But they're ignorant of the ways of God. Either because, and believe it or not, there are plenty of people out there that have never heard of Jesus. As shocking as it is to kind of think with the way the world is today and the way, you know, everybody seems to know everything about everything or a little bit about everything, that they've never heard about Him or any of His ways. But they're out there. But more mind-boggling is the number of people that have heard of Him and blocked Him off. Become callous because, you know what? They're tired of hearing it. So they put up a wall. They become callous to something. Hardened of heart. Don't walk like they walk. They built a wall to keep God out. Don't build another wall to keep them out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just because they don't understand, they don't believe what we believe, don't wall them off and cut them off. They've already set up a barrier. Don't put another one up. Knock theirs down is what our call is to do. Even if it means just chipping away little pebbles as much as we can. Don't become callous to the people that we've been called to go and represent Jesus to. Don't put up another wall. Don't put up another buffer. Don't repel. Because Jesus is all about come. He's not about stay away. They become callous because they've given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. They like the worldly things, as was mentioned over here this morning. And ignorance is bliss, right? That's what they say. And to some extent it's right because, you know, you get the idea of, you know, I was just fine and dandy until you guys told me that I wasn't. And so much for the ignorance now. And ignorance is bliss may work for a while, but you know what? It's not an excuse in the end. It's not an excuse in the end. It's not a very good excuse at all. So don't walk as the Gentiles do. Putting up walls against God. Putting up walls against people. Being ignorant to things. We've been called to be enlightened and filled with knowledge. Not to check our brains at the door when we enter the church. Dig. Let people build onto you. And then thrive in that. Because he says, Paul says, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Not to be darkened of mind. Not to be alienated from people. Not to be callous. That's not the way we learn Christ, he says. Hopefully you heard about Him in truth and in spirit. In the true ways of God. And what He has to offer. Freedom is what He has to offer. Even if you don't realize that you're in bonds, He offers that freedom. He says, assuming that you've heard about Him and were taught about Him in truth, as the truth is in Jesus, and put off your old self. That's not who you are anymore. Don't walk as the Gentiles walked. Don't walk as you formerly walked. Don't talk as you formerly talked. As you're living your life as Christians, is that reflecting Christ? Do the things you say reflect Christ? And I'm not saying we should be shoving Jesus down people's throat. Okay? That's not what I'm saying at all. Because you know what? A guy tried that to me 20-some years ago. It didn't work so well. It about got him banned from my dock. Okay? I was a shipping clerk at the time. I was like, this guy is out of here. Rude, crude, even though it was for the right reason. You know? Goes back to the statement from Peter. Do it with gentleness and respect. That humble boldness. But do it. Let Jesus, let God show in your life. Just the way you live your life. Are you filtering your life because you're worried about offending people? You're putting up a barrier. Are you filtering what you say because you're worried they won't respond or you'll offend them? You're putting up a barrier. Don't walk as they walk. You can talk about Jesus casually. Let people know who you are. Without shoving it down their throat. Don't walk as the Gentiles walk. Walk as the way you were called to walk, in a manner worthy of your calling. I'm going back all the way to the beginning of chapter, or of verse 1 or 2 of chapter 4. Walk in that manner. Put off your old self. Because that's not the one that you are anymore. You're a new creation. You're a new spirit. You've been reborn. Made new. Because He says you've been renewed in your spirit and of your minds. There's that. Don't check it at the door. Grow into mature Christians. Grow into maturity. Grow into bold, firm, strong warriors. You know what other scriptures in Ephesians, right, that we'll get to, and who knows, probably around the turn of the year. We're going to put on the armor of God. And why do you need to put on the armor of God? Because we are in a spiritual war. So don't walk as the people that we're trying to win over. And by the way, they're not the ones we're battling in this whole thing. You know that, right? It's the ones that's over them that we're battling. So be renewed. Put on your new self. It means put on your new mind, your open mind, your God mind. Don't walk in the ways of the Gentiles. Walk in God's ways. Speak His words. Don't speak words that make people go, this guy's a Christian. Don't do things that make people think, she says she's a Christian. Because we're representatives, we're ambassadors of God right here and now. That's what we're all called to do, is be those ambassadors. One more thing here. Don't walk as the Gentiles do. You know, sometimes there's this effort, there's this idea that we want the world to realize that we're really not any different than them. You know, so that we can relate to them. And I can see the logic there. I'm just like you. It's one problem. We're not just like them. It would be better to go out there and say, I was once just like you. But I don't walk that way anymore. Do you have to go out and sometimes get in the muck to help out? Yes. Sometimes you got to get dirty. Sometimes you got to go hang out with the sinners where the sinners hang out. I think that conference was one of my favorite ones where they were talking about hanging out. It was some ministry at a bar, wasn't it? They were talking downtown in Findlay or something like that. I forget what they called it. What was it? Ale? Ale to the King. That's what it was called. But they have a Bible study in a separate room over here at this pub. And they guys sitting around talking about God. Amen. In a relaxed, comforting atmosphere. So I got questions. I'm going to go sit over here with these guys and don't walk as the Gentiles walk. Walk in a manner that we've been called into. So cast off that former self. Stop walking and talking like that person. That person was corrupt. It was corrupted. It was full of earthly desires. You're something different. You're a new creation. As the song says, you know, you're a child of that one true King. We just went and saw him in concert, by the way. Not the King, but the guy that sang the song. He was there too, right? The King was there. It's kind of a cool concert, wasn't it? Walk like him. Talk like him. Because you're one of his. Act like it. Put on that new self, that one that's created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Put on that suit of armor. Put on that suit when you leave the house. Don't walk like the Gentiles do. Walk with God. Walk with Jesus. Walk with the Spirit inside, but showing on the outside. Walk with the saints that we've been equipped to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for you, for your Spirit, for that renewal that we have in you. And Father, help us wear that suit, that renewed person, in a way that glorifies you, in a way that honors you, in a way that is not shameful. But in a way that is humble, that is bold, that is grateful for all that you've done, all that you continue to do, and also in a way that would reflect your greatness and your goodness to others so they can see that. If we're struggling with any ways of the past, the old self, Father, we just pray that you help us cast that off. And concentrate on the new self, on being yours and doing what you've called us to do, and that is go out and make disciples that make disciples, but to be your ambassadors, to be your people here that reflect your greatness, your goodness, and your love to others. And your love is unconditional. Help us remember that as well. Your love for others is unconditional. And so ours should be as well. Help us walk in your ways, not our former ways. Walk as your children. Father, we ask your help in this. We ask your guidance and your leadership in all of this. And we ask your help from each other, to embolden each other, to build each other up, to hold each other accountable. But then also help each other in love and kindness and gentleness along this path. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you with everything we have. Help us follow you, follow your Son, and follow His ways. And we thank you so much for everything that He has done for us in making that path, that way for that relationship with you, and that others can have that as well. Help us remember that as well. It's not just for us, it's for everyone. It's for us to share. We love you, we thank you, and we ask your help in all of this as we seek you and praise you. And we pray in Jesus' name, all of this. Amen.